Blog Talk Radio.
Kill me now. Obviously, someone's been dipping into the punch bowl a little early here on Erie House Radio. Welcome. It's Erie House oldie-timey radio, is it not, tonight?
Yes, it is.
And we're celebrating the old year and new year.
I'm Dale Kay from Smoke Show, here along with...
I couldn't find the punch bowl, so I have made a whole case of beers to drink during the show. Happy New Year. Dave Bickley from Weird, this really bad movie, and Spaceship One. We're here along with Guzzlin, the Guzzlin guy.
I'm afraid already. It is I, Guard the Ghoul, boy, 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 boy. All right, there you go.
Guard Guzzlin Ghoul.
Guard the Guzzlin Ghoul.
Yes, sir.
Who said Guzzlin? Did I say Guzzlin?
We did.
I said Guzzlin.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to wind back my tape, and I'm going, did I say Guzzlin? Sure, okay, why not? Whatever works, man, yeah.
Which way
what
did I go?
What I like about 2022, I don't remember any of it.
Want to welcome GGSI paper, good old Bob and Fogsbane to the chat. Live here with us now.
That's what we need. I don't have one, but I would love to have a foghorn. For fogs.
We will get one.
That would be fun.
For a foghorn or a foghorn?
I'd rather have a froghorn.
A froghorn would be cool.
I know, I like frogs.
A froghorn.
Cool.
A froghorn would be cool.
A frog with a horn. Yeah, okay.
Which is better than never mind.
There. Fog's being gave you a foghorn right there in the chat.
There you go.
Three comedic tales for you tonight, all about New Year's.
We're sending out the year with some laughs and some smiles. But hopefully that's the way we'll start our new year.
Since it's only the 30th, isn't this an old year's party?
Pre-New Year's?
It's pre-New Year's.
Isn't it tomorrow? It's Eve.
Okay.
Eve squared.
I didn't know that many Eves.
Eve Arden. Yeah.
I didn't know Eve Arden, though.
And there's that
I know
Eve,
Eve Arden.
The first girl, I don't remember. I don't think she had a last name.
Wasn't there a Stephen Evie? Wasn't there? I don't know.
It was Eve Plum, Marsha.
Eve Plum? Oh, yeah, there.
There's Adam and
Steve. Yeah.
Or Adam and Steve. I don't know.
Yeah, 2022 goes all over.
I don't know. Three comedic tales, I tell you.
More coffee. Already.
Three, you say.
Hello, Fogsbane.
Yeah.
Blay, blay. Good old Bob. Blay, blay.
Dave, you have...
And Gigi Sidehaver. Blay, blay.
You have piqued my curiosity with our selections tonight.
Tell us more
about Taxi.
Oh, my gosh.
Taxi comes to us from South Africa, believe it or not. It's a comedy about a couple of New York taxi drivers. They're roommates, Chuck Edwards and Red Kowalski. Plus Chuck's girlfriend Myrtle, and each show features cabbies interacting with customers, sometimes in ridiculous situations such as Red worrying about keeping his cab clean and trying to get customers to remove their shoes, or trying to get a lady to leave her dog outside the cab and hold the leash out the window. Things like that. There, really funny how they kind of got the Brooklyn thing down there in South Africa. What do you think, Gar?
Sure, I'll agree. Why not?
No, I mean, you wouldn't know. You actually wouldn't know this is a South African production, I wouldn't think.
Oh, no, yeah, I don't know how they disguise their voices so well. But, yeah, no, they pull it off.
There's actually a – I did not realize it. I loved imitating things as a kid, you know, things like off-the-wall stuff like Jerry Lewis, his various characters, the Stooges and whatnot. But later in life, I took some classes from, oh, gosh, Dave, you'd know his name, and it escapes me right now. I think it was Joel Rose was doing these voice classes.
Okay, yeah,
I took a couple from him.
Yeah, okay.
And had one
about diction and stuff or what?
Well, a little bit of that, diction and dialect, but a methodology, like if you were going to do character voices, whether it was something regional in the United States or regional in the world, like an accent, if you want to sound like, you know, the three of us do naturally when we're goofing around, but there's actually, you can make a science of it. And one of the things you do is get a recording of someone that you wish to sound like. And listen to it and break it down syllable by syllable and practice and record yourself. And you learn to manipulate your voice better to do a better impression of either an accent or a specific impression, perhaps.
Ah. Very
interesting. That's a good way to enhance an innate skill, perhaps. Mm-hmm.
Was this before or after Joel Rose got in trouble?
Maybe during? No. I don't know. I don't know. It was some guy from the Morning Exchange. I don't know. It's been many years, but it might have been Joel Rose, or he was connected with Joel Rose. Somewhere.
No, Joel Rose did go into teaching, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, had to earn some moolah somehow. When the Morning Exchange went out,
I would say it was
Fred,
quite likely
Fred
before
Griffith,
he
yeah.
got in trouble, because I think I would have declined afterwards.
Okay.
If it were him.
It was kind of a hashtag Me Too thing before hashtag Me Too.
Yeah.
Way before that.
Yeah.
Way before that.
He was a frisky fellow, wasn't he?
He was a guy that was even did a little bit of radio. Not you know, again, had to bring some money in. I thought he was an interesting guy. He was a guy that didn't have certain filters when he was live.
Ooh,
and that's one thing that made Joel Rose an interesting character.
Yep. And since we brought up Taxi, why don't we start with that one?
That's a good idea, Mike.
A good idea, Mike. With New Year's Eve is the title. And do we have an original broadcast date from way down in South Africa?
According to 12 sources, we have December 28th, 1969 at 9. Yep.
Fair enough.
Okay. There you go.
Tune to the national network of Springbok Radio, broadcasting FM, medium wave, and shortwave transmitters in the 90 and 120 meter bands.
Die Westlok tyd sê 7:45 op elke Westlok's uurwerk.
Not backwards.
Blind.
You're driving on the wrong side of the road.
Taxi! Taxi! Taxi!
The time, right now. The characters, you name them, we got them. The scene, New York City. We present Taxi, a week-by-week account of the trials and tribulations of a New York taxi driver.
There, Chuck's the name, Chuck Edwards. Now, although I am a cabbie, I am not like my buddy Red, who is also a cabbie. Me, I takes life as it comes. But Red, oh boy, he wants everything to happen to him. He dashes out and grabs life by the scruff of the neck. Like the time we went out deep sea fishing. Now, I want to tell you, guys and dolls, fishing is something I do not dig. I mean, just sitting there and waiting for some poor sucker of a fish to bite your bait. That's not for me living it up. But some guys, they goes crazy for it. Now, it comes as something of a surprise to yours truly when my buddy Red starts talking about fishing. Like, I mean, this is a side of his character I ain't never seen before. The did I say character? Well, I uses the time loosely. We is down on the rank, and it is Friday, which means the next day is Saturday. Or maybe you worked that one out for yourselves. Now, what I means is, the weekend stretches before us.
We got tomorrow, and then there's Sunday that ain't even touched yet.
Me, I think I'm gonna take a look-see at the ponies.
We sets out first thing in the morning, and by midday, we can be fishing.
I ain't been to the track since you lost $1,000.
Out there, the wind whistling through my hair.
And so, the wind whistling through your what?
Well, maybe it is a bit short. Ah, but Chuck, that's the life.
What is?
Fishing. Deep sea fishing.
I am talking about horse racing.
Same thing. Just a question of who gets caught.
So what do you know about fishing?
Oh, well, you see, this guy, he was telling me yesterday, a fare I picked up. He has this cabin cruiser, see? And there ain't nothing like it, he says, when you get a big one.
A big cabin cruiser?
No, a big fish. We're going out with him this weekend.
Yeah, who is?
Me and you and Michael. We is going on this cabin cruiser with this guy.
Huh?
For the day. Tomorrow. Fishing. You and me and Michael. And this boat. For the day. A cabin cruiser.
Now, wait a minute. This is the first I heard about it.
No, I've been telling you for the last half hour.
Well, I ain't been listening. And furthermore, I am not going.
Chuck, it is all arranged.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, that is so.
So how can you go ahead and arrange a weekend for me without asking me first?
I did ask you, I did. I asked you last night just before you went to sleep. You said, okay, darling, it'll be a pleasure.
I was asleep already and dreaming I was being propositioned by Bridget Bardot.
I thought it was funny you calling me darling.
Yeah. Anyway, I am going racing. There's a couple of nags running tomorrow that's got to show. Okay, you go fishing if you want to, but me, I am not going.
Michael will be disappointed.
Oh, that's too bad. What are you talking about?
She's going. It's all fixed.
Now listen, Boyd Brain. How can it be all arranged if I don't know nothing about it? And anyway, whether Michael goes or not is up to her. Me, I am not going. Who is this guy with a boat anyways?
Well, he's an English guy. You know, landed up in New York.
Yeah, he was on his way over to Dunkirk during the war. Got lost.
No, I mean, he lives here now. He's a writer or something. You know, goes out on his cruiser weekends. Name is Aubrey. That's that. Aubrey. He's a great guy.
I don't care if his name is Sir Francis Drake. I am not going sailing with nobody.
Sir Francis Drake? Is he a writer, too? Well, anyways, it ain't sailing.
That's the same thing. You was out on the ocean in a boat. That's the bit I do not like. Anyways, I hate fish.
You don't have to like them. You just catches them.
Now listen, sailor boy. You get this straight, huh? Tomorrow, I am going racing. I am not spending my weekend or any day ever on a smelly fishing boat. Look. Neither me nor my broad. If you wants to go, you can go on your own.
Yeah, but Chuck...
That is final. Me and Myrtle is not going.
Yeah, this is the life, eh, Chuck?
I say, how are you feeling, old sport? Not too good.
You'll probably feel better when we get out of the harbor.
The waves is bigger there.
You know, it's a funny thing. When a fellow feels queasy before we're even out of the harbor, he often bucks up later.
I don't want to buck up. I want to throw up.
Gee, honey. If you're such a bad sailor, why did you arrange this trip?
Me arrange it?
Fred told me how you insisted.
I just hope he runs into pirates and they makes him walk the plank.
I think this is just wonderful of you to invite us, Mr.
I say, no, misters. Just call me Aubrey. All my friends call me Aubrey.
Oh, what do your enemies call you?
That's the spirit. Feeling better already, eh?
Hey, Chuck, hey, maybe you'll feel better if you have something to eat. I got some ham sandwiches.
Oh.
Yeah, we packed plenty other kinds if you don't like ham. Just tell me what you feel like. You know, sardines, sauerkraut, corned beef, potato salad, onion, fish paste, jam.
Will you shut up?
See? You're feeling better already.
I'll tell you what, old chap. Let me give you a little drinky-winky, huh? That'll buck you up. Now, what would you like?
You got any embalming fluid?
Here, drink this. This will put hair on your chest. Drink it down. And brace yourself. We'll be rounding the harbor wall and out into the open sea any minute now.
Well, how I made it, I shall never know. But inside 15 minutes or so, I was feeling better. It must have been that drink he gave me. Well, when I started feeling alive again, although I didn't like to admit it, I must say it wasn't too bad. The sun was shining, there was a nice gentle breeze blowing, and I managed to take a good look around me for the first time. Now, this cruiser or boat or whatever, oh, that was really something. Up front, it was sort of in two levels. And in back, there was this sort of well deck where we were sitting. Up front, another deck. And underneath that was a sort of lounge and bunks and so on. Oh boy, real classy. And this Aubrey geezer, he was real classy too. You know, sort of like George Sanders and a nice guy. When I sort of starts taking notice again, he has got Greg all rigged up with a fishing line and Red is going to throw it in.
All set?
All set, yeah.
No, you cast it as far astern as you possibly can.
Far astern, okay. Far astern.
No, not my stern, you big ape!
Gee, look what you've done now. I'll have to put more bait on now.
Look what you've done to my jeans!
I say, how about you having a shot, Myrtle, old gal?
Okay.
Ow, no, hey, what is this? Who decided I was the pincushion?
Look, I don't think you've quite got the hang of it, actually. Here, let me show you.
Now, wait a minute. Before anybody starts throwing hooks my way, I'm ducking downstairs.
Does? You mean below?
Well, whatever I mean, I am not staying here for a target.
Yes, well, I wouldn't go below just yet if I were you, old boy. It's worse for anyone who feels the effects of the rolling main down there. Why don't you sit up on the foredeck and get a bit of sun?
I got my string in.
String? Not string, old boy. Your line.
Yeah, well, anyway, I got it in the water. How's that?
Yes, it looks all right. Now, make yourself quite comfortable in that chair and brace yourself when the fish makes a strike.
Okay.
Mine's in too.
Jolly fine, Myrtle, old girl.
Hey, not so much of the old.
Just a term of endearment, I do assure you. Now, you take the chair next to Mr. Kowalski and wait for the bite.
I ain't gonna bite her.
He's talking about the fish, knucklehead.
Oh. Hey, maybe I'll catch a mermaid.
There ain't no such thing as mermaids.
Who says?
Well, has you ever seen a mermaid?
No.
So there you are. Don't never believe in nothing you ain't seen. Ain't you got any brains?
Have you?
What do you mean, have I? Of course I have.
Have you ever seen them?
No. Very funny.
Now, all right, everybody. You sure you don't want a rod and line, Mr. Edwards?
Who, me? Oh, thanks. No, I'll just watch these two. That should be enough fun for anybody.
Very well, then. I'll start the engines again and we'll cruise gently out to sea.
Guys and dolls, the old engines start up again and we starts moving out to sea. The coastline of good old America starts disappearing over the horizon and I gets to feeling like I ain't never gonna see it again. Red and Myrtle is sitting in the back end of the boat watching them lines like they was cats watching two mouse holes. I staggers to the front and I sits there for a bit. Then the side of the boat dipping up and down starts making me feel not so good again. So I goes back to where Red and Myrtle is sitting and Aubrey is there standing at the steering wheel.
Hey, Aubrey, how long do you have to wait before... Oh!
Hey, what's wrong?
Hey, I got something. Hey, something's pulling up my line.
Oh, well done, old boy. Reel it in. Reel, reel.
Reel? You mean like that scotch stand?
No. I mean, turn that little thingamajig, but play the fish. Play it.
Hey, this fish ain't playing. It's dead serious.
That's it. That's it. You're pulling it in.
Oh, that's it, Red. You got it.
Don't be too sure. The way
well
this
done.
Thing is pulling, it's got me. Oh, what do you think I got here, a whale?
Cod, probably. Sometimes get good cod hereabouts.
Gee, look at that line bending. Come on, Red. Pull.
I am pulling. I'm pulling. If I wasn't, that fish will have me in.
Good. Now reel in some more.
Whoa!
Gee. Hey, did you see that? Hey, when it come out of the water, you see the size of it?
Now, watch it now. He's going to go for the bottom.
You mean he's going to attack Chuck again?
Hey. No, that's what I mean. See, he's diving. Now, let him go. Let him go. And as soon as he stops, start reeling in again.
How long does this go on?
Oh, you can play a fish that size for hours.
My buddy Red is pretty tough, I want to tell you. I mean, he used to be a heavyweight fighter, and he is built. But built. But by the time that fish was landed, he had just about had it.
Gee, hey, now I know what they calls it, the poop deck. Because that's what I am. Pooped.
Pretty good size.
Hey, what about me? I ain't had a nibble yet. I'm going to pull this in, see if my bait's still there.
What about you, Mr. Edwards? Get dry your hands.
What for? Bait? No tags. I'll just sit and watch. Me, I am a professional watcher.
No, bait's still there. Why ain't I catching any?
Take skill, Michael. Flick of the wrist. It's all in the action. Say, your bait is different to mine.
Is it?
Yeah, I had raw fish on mine.
Well, you see, I mean, you saw what happened when the fish took the bait. I didn't want you to get one that size, so I gave you a different bait.
Naturally, the weaker sex. You dames just can't handle the big ones like us fellas.
Oh, is that so? Well, let me tell you, Superman, that it ain't just brute strength, it's brains that counts.
That's what I mean. You wouldn't stand a chance.
Oh, is that so? Here, Mr. Aubrey, give me some of that raw fish.
Now, wait a minute, Moise.
Ban your lip. Anything that 6-foot lump of gristle can do, I can do better.
I don't think it would be wise.
Why, schmeiß? Give me some of that fish.
The trouble is, when they snatch the bait, they could take the rotten line right out of your hands. Don't want that to happen, do
they? Well, it won't happen. Give me.
Listen to the guy, Moise. He knows what he's talking about.
To catch a big one.
Wait until we're outside the limit.
What limit?
No, nothing. Look, I'll tell you what. Try one more cast with this bait. Then, if you don't get a bite inside 10 minutes, well, then you can try the other bait.
No. Oh, all right.
Miss me.
Hold on. E2. This is the United States Coast Guard. I am coming aboard!
The Coast Guard?
Yeah.
What do they want, you reckon?
Well, I don't know. They often make routine searches. I'd better go and cut the engines.
Stand by! I'm coming aboard!
I say good day, officer.
Afternoon. You the skipper of this vessel?
Quite right, yes.
Gee, the Coast Guards have come aboard. It's like a movie on the Late Late Show. What are you looking for, my friend?
As a matter of fact, my friend, I am going to search this vessel. A matter of $20,000 worth of stolen diamonds.
See, it's not just us. Dave and I got our cats we did those Eerie House things, like Are You Lonesome Tonight? Scream a Little Scream of Me.
Yep.
Yeah. So we got our cats to do this. It was pretty cool. It took us hours of editing.
Hours.
Plus the cats got tired of getting squeezed, so that was a...
wrong. Yep.
Well, where's the twist that this is a New Year's Eve story with the taxi?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with New Year's Eve, but it is called indeed the New Year's Eve. That's what it's called.
New Year's Eve.
So.
There you go.
Have either of you guys been?
Yeah, maybe he's different than South Africa.
Bill, you went to Hawaii at some point in your life, so you were on a big ship at some point, right?
No.
You made it there in a rowboat.
We ran. We ran.
I think he flew in forward. His arms tired.
We did.
If you ran, I must ask, who was chasing you?
The attorneys tell me not to say anything anymore.
Okay, well, there you go.
So I have to... And not indict
I've been on small...
further than I may have already.
I've been in rowboats. I've been in big boats, and I've been on ships, and never had the problem with getting ill.
I was going to ask you about that, yeah.
One time we did this. It was totally, totally foreign to me. Was we went scuba diving, and after we finished, my dad was up with, he was my buddy on this, my dad and I, and he hands me a jar of honey. And I was like, what do I do with this? And he said, drink it.
Rub it on yourself.
And so I drank it. And you use so much energy when you're scuba diving, and you don't even realize. And this just immediately, bam, that you know, kicked it right up.
Yeah.
There.
Pure sugar, yeah.
Never imagined I'd ever drink honey. You know, maybe a little on toast, you know, but drink honey. Mm.
Sounds terrible and wonderful at the same time.
Well, you really need to be dehydrated and low sugar when you do it.
Yeah.
And follow it with toast.
Where are you going to get toast
fingers.
On the
or
open
chicken
sea?
Fingers. Chicken
on,
fingers are good.
On the open
salt,
sea,
you know?
Where are you going to get this chicken and toast? On the open seas, with the waves moving and the ship undulating up and down and up and down.
Yeah,
I'm getting seasick right now. I'm getting seasick right now, I think.
There you go.
Thanks, Carl.
I was on a boat, and we were taking, I would say, like 15-degree pitches. I mean, it was, we were on the walls of the vessel when it was like, wow, okay. It was
and
weird.
You never experienced it, huh?
And I never
you
got ill. No, I was just like, no, it was just like, oh,
seasickness
this is fun.
Is, seasickness is really, really probably a motion sickness. That's why I have experienced that from time to time.
I have different things, but very rarely, and it's more of a queasy, uneasy feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
happening
more as I get older.
You're getting queasier as you get older, Dale? Is that what you're saying?
No, motion sickness. You know what it is? You know when I get motion sickness? If I try to read in a movie, like if I'm a passenger.
In
a
car. You're right.
Anything moving, I have difficulty reading in something moving.
Yeah. I'm able to do that. I've always been able to read in a car.
Oh, I can't. It makes me want to hurl.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I can't.
One of the best, memories, and it's a winter memory, is I was up in the Arctic Circle on this boat. It was daytime. You could see no land, but all along the sea, all you saw was ice floating, and it was snowing, and it was like, where's Santa Claus? Because this is it. It was amazing. One of the most amazing visual things I've ever seen. It was like, wow.
Yeah, I am a victim of motion sickness. Even, you know, it's happened in planes and not in train, but in automobile. And this one time I was in West, by God, Virginia. My ex's family was from there, and her Uncle Roy was still there. And he threw me in the back seat. And then when he realized that I got motion sickness, he started whipping that car around that mountain as fast as he could.
It's a mess.
And I don't know how in the world I didn't hurl. But he had a fun old time trying to make me lose it. In his own car, by the way.
Yeah.
But
you know I'm going to paint the interior of this car, don't you?
I wasn't far from it. I was three different shades of green. Yeah.
50 Shades of Green. Starring Dave Binkley. Who knew? Who knew? The racy side of Dave Binkley. Revealed here on Erie House Radio, as it should be.
That's when you know it's time to trade in your relatives. That's just bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't last too much longer than that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Honey, your cousin Zed is crazy. I'm leaving.
Yeah, I have a story about that I can't tell on radio. Maybe during a before party sometime, because that isn't even recorded. But I have to tell you
a story
my father-in-law told me once.
So
anyway, I will not tell it here or the after party. Maybe the before party sometime.
Yeah, not recorded. Not recorded. Sorry.
Yeah, that is not recorded.
Use your imaginations. Let them run wild. I have. Let's wrap up. Let's wrap up Taxi. As I choke on my tobacco trachea with New Year's Eve, part two. Sounds like Dave and Runyon Theater a little.
Oh, boy. 20,000 smackers bought the hot ice. Diamonds, that's what the guy said. I looked at Michael. Michael looked at me. Aubrey looked at the Coast Guard and Red. He looked at the fish he just caught. $20,000?
Gee!
I say, what makes you think it might be aboard my vessel, old boy?
Hey, you ever see a fish that size before?
We have reason to believe that an attempt will be made to smuggle the stones out of the country. All the airports are being watched. The border patrols are alert, and we're checking every vessel that goes outside the territorial waters.
I'm not outside, am I?
Not yet, but you had it that way.
Yeah, but we're just on a fishing cruise.
You ever see a bigger fish than that? You're honest?
I can assure you, old boy, you've got the wrong fellow this time. So you wouldn't have any objection to a search?
Well, now, whatever. Go right ahead.
Just answer me one thing. Have you ever seen a fish like that before?
All right. My men will search for it. I'll look aft.
And that's what they did. They turned that boat upside down. They looked everywhere. But, of course, they didn't find no diamonds. I mean, after all, they wasn't there to find, was they? At last they left, and Aubrey started up the motor again. Gee, I wonder what made them think they might be on board here.
Like man said, old boy, just routine.
I feel like writing a letter to my congressman about the rudeness of the Coast Guards.
I didn't think he was rude, considering.
No, me neither.
Yeah, he was, too. Never even looked at my fish. But he never caught a fish that big in his whole life, not ever.
Oh, for crying in a bucket, will you shut up about that fish?
What do you mean? This is some fish, you know.
Oh, hey, Aubrey, how's about me having a go with that other bait? That fish bait? Maybe I can catch one that size.
Please, Michael. Women ain't made for this deep sea fishing routine. Either you got it or you haven't.
Listen, big mouth, I just want to tell you, that fish could pass for your good-looking brother. And the reason that Coast Guard guy didn't look at it is it ain't worth looking at. Ain't that big. I caught bigger fish than that with a worm and a bent pin.
Is that so?
That is so. And furthermore, I will prove it to you. Hey, Aubrey, I'm going to reel this hook in, and you sling me some of that raw fish for my bait. Oh! I got a bite!
Yeah, you have to, honey. Hey, look at that rod, man.
Don't try to hold it. Let it run out. Let it run out.
It's pulling me in while I do.
No, it just feels that way. You hold tight.
Yes, whatever you do, don't let go of that rod. Here, let me help you.
Get your hands off. I do this myself.
I don't want to lose that rod, whatever happens. Here.
Yeah, I can manage.
Yeah, you can manage. Ain't
this is a real big one. Now, take it easy.
Yeah, take it easy.
Reel her in a bit.
Reel her in a bit.
Don't let her get any slack or the line will snap.
Don't let her get any... Slap.
Oh, you think you are, little Sir Echo?
This is the time when you need expert advice.
So shut up!
Yeah, don't confuse her. Shut up, all of you. Now give me that rod.
None of your life!
Look, I can't run the risk of that fish snapping the line. Give the rod to me.
Watch a few feet of line. I'll pay for it if it snaps. Let her try and bring it in.
Do as I say. Give me the rod.
It is my fish. I'm going
to
land it.
And this is my boat and my tackle, and I say give it to me.
Oh, go on. Give it to him, honey.
Yeah, but I'm the one that
got... Do as he says.
All right. Here. I hope it gets away.
How about that? I want to tell you guys and dolls, I couldn't figure it out at all. I mean, this Aubrey was one nice guy. At least that's what I thought. Then he starts getting all nasty over a few feet of fishing line. Well, my broad Michael was upset. I mean, who wouldn't be? But I pulled her away, and me and Red and her went and sat away from this Aubrey geezer, who incidentally was having a job to make any headway with the fish. Hey, that must be one big fish. Look at that.
Why wouldn't he let me pull it in?
Oh, he said he didn't want the line to snap.
So why didn't he make a fuss when you was pulling in the fish?
Well, maybe he could see I was a natural-born expert.
In a pig's eye.
Yeah, you're right, honey. Now, don't make no sense.
Say, Red, how well do you know this guy?
Huh? Oh, I know him very well. He rode in my cab a couple of days ago.
And he invited us to go deep-sea fishing right away? Just like that?
Just like that?
Yeah, that is kind of strange, ain't it?
That's what I was thinking. What did he say his job was?
Well, he said he was a writer. But come to think of it, I ain't never heard of him.
Well, that don't mean nothing. You ain't never heard of Shakespeare.
There's something screwy about all this.
Well, this fish, guys and dolls, it really puts up a fight. But this Aubrey guy, he lands him at last. Now, I want to tell you a funny thing. When he finally gets that fish aboard, he ain't the least bit interested in it. Nah, he is more interested in getting the hook and line and stuff out of the way after sort of checking it. Though I can't see what for. But my broad Myrtle, she's got something on her mind.
Did you see those weights on the end of his line?
Yeah, they look the same as the ones I used.
I didn't see nothing different.
No, me neither. But he was more interested in the weights than the fish.
I say, sorry if I got a bit nasty there, old girl. What?
Wasn't the value of the girl, you understand? Just sort of, well, sentimental value.
When are we heading for home?
Not long now.
Yeah, I think we ought to be going back. It's getting kind of late.
No hurry.
Yeah, there is. The sea's starting to get a bit rough.
I'm going to sit down. I can hardly keep my balance.
Yeah, me neither. Oh, oops.
Hey, look out. Mind the tackle.
Hey, sorry. I trod on the...
Will you look at that?
He trod on one of the weights.
And it bust open.
And those things inside is diamonds.
And she was right, too. Like they says in the storybooks, it all came to me in a flash. This guy was a fence. He was taking the stolen stones through, and he was pretty sure the Coast Guard would search the whole boat. So what better way of hiding the stones? And of course, using us three as a cover-up. That's why he invited us in the first place. Them diamonds was hidden in small lumps of some stuff, which he used as weights. And he made sure that the line was over the side and the weights under the water when the Coast Guard came aboard. Yeah, like I say, it came to me in a flash. But it wasn't flashy enough. You know why? The guy pulls a gun on us.
All right. Who are you two fellas and move?
Yeah, better do as he says, Brad.
All right, now, if you do as you're told, you won't come to any harm.
I don't get it.
Them's the stolen diamonds. And I'll bet all five of them weights is the same full of rock.
Yeah, $20,000 worth.
Yes, you're quite right. Clever, aren't you? My rendezvous with my contact will take place in about half an hour.
What are you going to do with us?
As long as you behave yourself, you'll be quite safe. Once the stones are handed over, you constitute no danger.
Oh, but suppose we tell the cop?
Then there'll be no proof, will there? Because I'll just deny everything.
Yeah, he's right. Without them stones, there'll be no case against him.
Now I see why he wouldn't let me use that raw fish bait like Red. He didn't want me to have a bite. He just wanted the line in the water all the time.
Yes, you're quite right, old girl. Just bad luck that you did get a bite with the bait you were using. Million to one chance.
Yeah, million to one chance. Sure luck. You don't know how to use a fishing rod.
Oh, no? How about this?
Okay, honey, don't worry. I got it. Okay, mister, come on. Get over there.
Gee, Michael, hey, you swung that rod pretty good for an amateur.
Ah, you did great, honey. He was more concerned with keeping me in red cover. He wasn't watching you.
You broke my wrist.
Don't worry. They'll fix it up for you in the prison hospital. Chuck, you keep him covered.
Okay.
Red, you turn that wheel until we're going back where we came from. And me, I'll raise the Coast Guard on the radio.
Listen to her. Giving orders like mutiny on the Bounty.
your taste to life. Break out into the open with a cigarette that really delivers the good taste. The taste that comes from the superlative tobaccos of Life cigarettes. That's the way it is with Life. It gets you where it pleases most. So if you're just having an ordinary time, put a little Life into it, because, oh man, Life is great. Go on. Why don't you live it up a little, hmm? With Life.
Hello there. I'm Mac Banana, and I've some crafty advice for you. This is no the time to risk a capital loss on your investments. Invest where you know your money will be safe. Safe as houses in NBS paid-up shares. Your money works hard at the NBS, earning a high rate of 7% per annum. Oh, I believe a canny banana. You cannot burn your fingers with an investment in Safe Natal Building Society paid-up shares.
The guy didn't show no fight, and with odds of 3-1, who can blame him? I keeps him well covered with the gat, and in no time, Michael has called the Coast Guard on the radio, and they has come back on the scene. They had a bit of trouble getting on board, because Red is at the wheel, and he is only able to go around in cycles. Anyway, the Coast Guard gets the stolen diamonds, and they gets Aubrey. And what is more, they picks up the Dutch steamer that was going to make the rendezvous. All in all, a very exciting day out.
Yeah, sure was an exciting day. I never caught such a big fish in my life. I bet nobody ever caught such a big fish. No. Never, never, not ever.
Will you
nobody
knock it off, Mr. Christian?
Okay, Captain Bly. Still, it was a big fish.
Well, that was our fishing adventure. And as far as deep-sea fishing is concerned, I've had my chips. And that's about it for this week. So long, guys and dolls. Hey, if I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window.
There you go. That's a good one from South Africa. Taxi.
Happy New Year! I didn't hear it, but okay.
Not once did they say anything about New Year in there, but the show itself was called New Year.
Yep.
New Year's Eve. It's called New Year's Eve. It had nothing to do with New Year's Eve.
Yep.
And the show
but
before,
it's a comedy, so it doesn't matter.
I guess it doesn't.
That's the beauty of comedy. You can, if you work your cards right, you can play off anything.
There you go. Yep. A fun show. All the way anyway. So
have we no moral for this one?
Sure, go ahead. Toss it out there.
Okay. Oh, I thought I'd give you a little heads up. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story. Gar.
Some say, never cast your pearls before swine, nor diamonds before fish.
That was a fun
Johnny
show.
Johnny Weissmuller approved.
Okay. Yep. Or someone stepped on his foot.
Could be. Could be.
Could be. Could be.
One of the elephants there, yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh. One thing I never understood in the whole thing about the Tarzan thing is Tarzan was raised by the apes and all the animals were his friends. But in a lot of the depictions of Tarzan, it's like killing a lion or something like that. It's like, when you walk up to a tree, man, how are you? You know.
Well, you have to learn lions so you throw insults at him while you're fighting them.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Fighting with a crocodile, you know, I don't know. Sometimes he's swimming with them, sometimes he's fighting them. Yeah, I don't know. Confusing.
It is. I guess they're like people. Yeah. There's good ones and bad ones.
Okay. Could be.
I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't know too many really good. Lion Lioness the Lionhearted is the only good lion I know that I can think of. Oh, Clarence the Cross-Eyed Lion.
Yeah, Clarence. Don't forget
Clarence. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But there was also a cartoon, Leo. Wasn't Leo the Lion.
No, Lippy Lion and Hardy Har Har.
Lippy Lion, there's all kinds of
Lion, okay.
Happy lions out there. The Cowardly Lion, you know, we all like him.
What's not
to
like?
I didn't get that. And yes, like Clarence the Cross-Eyed Lion, it's just like they're demonstrating if an animal is fed, it's not going to sit there and go, oh, well, you know, you're dessert, you know. You keep them fed and happy and content.
Well, it depends on your taste like.
I understand Clarence wasn't really cross-eyed. He was just imitating Marty Feldman.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. I'll verify that.
Okay.
Over the last year or so, I've seen videos of folks with natural wild wolves, and it's all about knowing the animal. All about knowing the animal.
Yes.
And vice versa, the animal knowing you.
Yes. There is a lot of nonverbal communication with animals. My wife is very good with that. She'll approach any living thing.
Including you. Okay.
Yeah, well, no, we said living.
Talk about wildlife. Talk about wildlife.
Living the wildlife. Oh, gosh. So wild that we got some more comedy and stuff.
We do.
And
on our old year party. The old year.
What do we know about the show titled Goodbye, Dave?
Oh, Goodbye?
Goodbye 1947. Hello 1948, the Jack Benny Show.
The Jack Benny Show.
Oh,
yeah,
that
yeah,
was
yeah.
Jack Benny.
Yes.
Oh.
That was Jack Benny.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, there you
yep.
go. We know about Jack Benny.
Well, one of the few people that was successful in vaudeville to radio to television. The only place he really wasn't successful was in the movies. But he really wasn't successful there.
No.
Yeah.
And he would even joke about that himself.
Right. I think the part of the problem with his movies is that in television and radio, he played the same character. In movies, he played different characters.
Very true.
He wasn't all. I mean, Buck Benny Rides Again was the only place where he kind of played himself. The rest mm-hmm. of them, he was like George Washington, Slept Here, and To Be or Not to Be. Things like movies like that that I thought were not bad movies. It kind of shows. He really was a comedic actor, not a comedian. He would never stood up there and told jokes. Fred Allen would tell jokes, would do a monologue. Jack Benny never did that. He was not a comedian. He was a great comedic actor. And people wouldn't accept him outside of his stingy role. Even though he's a bit of a grumpy guy in George Washington Slept Here, I really enjoyed that film. A part of it was because it was not Jack Benny character.
There was a band director, Kay Kaiser. Is that right?
Yes,
Kay Kaiser did. He did a lot of films.
Yes, he did.
He was in a horror movie about ghosts, which it wasn't really. It was a comedic vehicle.
And I love that. It was with Peter Lorre and Boris Karloff in that as well.
Which one?
Mm-hmm.
Which movie was that?
What was the name of that one, Gar? You remember the name of that one? We can find it here in between, but
Boris, no.
Yeah, he was somewhere performing with his band, and then they got stuck there on a bad night and weather and stuff. So, yeah, that's how they got involved.
I can't figure out how to spell his name. How do you spell K. Kaiser?
K-A-Y-S-E-R,
I think.
K-Y-S-E-R for Kaiser, yes.
Yeah.
K-Y. There we go. Didn't need to go anywhere with that.
Why? Because we love
it. I was spelling it.
It's right next to the jelly. Yeah, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, we're not safe. Dale did.
I have a story about that. I can't tell in the after party either.
Another story. More stories. You can't hear.
Yeah, you can't hear.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
Just leave it. He did a handful of movies.
And I thought he was pretty good
in it. Let's see. Yeah, I'm looking for the plane, didn't we? Or not. Huh.
But we...
Okay.
Well, while you're studying, why don't we move along to...
Might as well. We've been talking about Jack Benny. We might as well roll into some Jack Benny.
Yeah. Goodbye, 1947. Hello, 1948. Clearly, that year's New Year's show from way back.
My whole time flies backwards.
What's the exact broadcast date?
Oh, well, December 28th, 1947.
Yeah. The Jack Benny program presented by Lucky Strike. Quality of product is essential to continuing success. An outstanding example, Lucky Strike. In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And first, last, always. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. American. Lucky Strike presents the man who knows. The tobacco auctioneer.
Mr. William Whitley of Henderson, North Carolina, has sold over 500 million pounds of tobacco leaf basket by basket. Recently, he said...
Season after season, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine ripe
That's
tobacco,
a long way to sell
fragrant
tobacco.
Tobacco that makes a fine
smoke. I'm telling
you. I've smoked Lucky's myself for 13 years.
At auction after auction, independent tobacco experts like Mr. Whitley can see the makers
the
of Lucky
truck.
Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. Remember,
L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And fine tobacco means real, deep-down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
Yes, next time you buy cigarettes, ask for Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
But they're not free, though.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go back about an hour to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills, where Jack has just finished having his lunch.
It was a very good lunch, Rochester. The best hash that I've ever tasted.
I made it from last night's leftovers.
What did we have last night?
Hash.
Oh. Well, I got to rush over for my broadcast, so let's get these dishes washed.
I'll do them.
No, Rochester, I'll do them. I want to try out that new electric dishwasher I got for Christmas.
But, boss, there's something wrong with it.
Oh, nonsense. You probably don't know how to operate it. I'll show you how. Now, you put the dirty dishes in like this. And close the door. Now, you turn on the switch. There, that ought to be enough. And now, to take out the dishes, and you open the door like this.
Wrong with it.
Well, there shouldn't be. It's a new machine. I'm going to try it again. Get some more dishes out of the cupboard.
But, boss!
Open the cupboard.
Okay.
What was that?
The dishes I washed yesterday.
I can't understand what's wrong.
Neither can I. I put it together the same day that I assembled the other kitchen appliances.
I don't see why it should break the dishes. It looks all right from the outside. Let's take a look on the inside. Oh, for heaven's sake, Rochester, the egg beater belongs on the Mixmaster. not in the dishwasher.
Then I must have put the part from the dishwasher on the Mixmaster.
Why?
This morning I tried to make a cake. When I turned on the switch, a big arm came out, grabbed me by the back of the neck, threw me in the bowl, and scrubbed me on both sides.
What?
And before I knew it, I was sitting in the cupboard on the third kill.
See, they even put them away for you. Rochester, call the appliance company and tell them to come out and fix the machine. I got to get down to the studio.
But, boss, you can't go in those old clothes and you need a shave, too.
I haven't got time now. I'll clean up at the studio. Now, go out in the garage and get the car, please.
The car ain't running.
Rochester, did you wreck the car?
Well, boss, it wasn't my fault.
What happened?
Well, I took the car out for a while last night, and on my way home, I made a sharp turn and came face to face with a steamroller.
Steamroller? Oh, so that's why you were so quiet when you got home last night. I didn't even hear you open the garage.
I didn't have to. I slid the car under the door.
Rochester, you mean my car was flat and that thin?
If I had a stamp, I could have mailed it to you.
Oh, well, you better get it fixed. Anyway, I'll take the bus down to the studio. So long, Rochester.
So long, boss.
Gee, I'll be late. There should be a bus coming along here. Oh, my goodness, I left my money and my other clothes. Well, maybe I can hitch a ride down. Here comes the car now. Going downtown, bud? Uh-oh, here comes another. Going downtown? Going downtown? See, that one had a trailer on it. Well, maybe I better start walking. Gee, if I don't get a hit soon, I'll be late for the broadcast. Hey, going downtown, mister?
Yeah, hop in, bud. Move over, Sophie.
Let him sit in the back.
Yes, the back's all right. I hope I'm not putting you folks in too much trouble.
That's all right, bud.
You see, I would have taken the bus, but I didn't have the money.
You don't have to explain, bud. Sophie slipped the poor guy a buck.
But I don't need...
Give him an extra 2 bits. He needs a shave, too.
Look, mister, I don't...
Where
need...
you going, bud?
To NBC.
How do you like that, Sophie? Instead of looking for a job, he goes to see radio programs.
He's probably too old to work anyway.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, bud, how old are you?
38.
Hey, Max, did you hear what he said?
Sophie, when you can't hold a job, your family throws you out, you bum around the country all your life, when you get to be 38, you look like that.
Look, mister...
Nothing personal, bud. Hey, by the way, where do you live?
Beverly Hills.
Get him, Sophie. Beverly Hills. I suppose you have a big house and a butler and a swimming pool?
Max, stop teasing him.
Okay.
Gee, it's a nice car you have here. What kind is it?
A Buick.
Oh, boy, I wish I had one like it. What year is it?
1928.
Gosh. Boy, this is a beauty.
Turn on the radio, Sophie.
Did I tell you about the place called Doo-Wah-Diddy? It ain't no town, it ain't no city, it's awful small.
Hey, they started the program without me.
She's got basement.
It's my own fault.
Sophie, turn off the radio.
Basement pool.
What's griping you, bud?
Plenty. They started the program without me.
How do you like that, Sophie? This bum's got a ticket to the program, and he wants him to wait till he gets there.
Now, wait a minute, mister. You can't talk to me like that.
All right. Calm down.
I won't calm down. Do you know who I am?
Sure. You're Bing Crosby or Bob Hope or Jack Benny.
Max, for heaven's sake, stop teasing him.
Okay, Sophie. Turn on the radio again.
Hey, Donzie.
Donzie, what did Jackson get you for Christmas? Shoelaces again?
No, no. Jack didn't know what to get me this year, so he came over to my house and painted my bedroom. Hey, Phil, how'd Santa Claus treat you?
Oh, great, Donzie, great. I got a lot of stuff for my friends, but the best gift of all is this fountain pen. Just look at it.
But, Phil, you have several fountain pens.
Not like this one. You know that little stack inside that holds the ink?
Yeah.
Bourbon.
Bourbon?
Yes, sir. I got the only fountain pen with a highball point. And if he thinks that's funny, he's got another
gift. Sophie, turn off the radio. What's griping you now, bud?
Nothing. I just didn't think that joke was funny.
Oh, I suppose you can tell him better.
You're darn right I can tell him better. Did you hear the one about
shut up!
Sophie, turn on the radio.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, as long as Jack isn't here yet, we'll keep things rolling with a number from our singing star, Dennis Day. Go ahead, Dennis. By Dennis Day. And Dennis, that was
okay,
really...
Okay, Don, okay, I'm here.
Hiya, Jackson. Hello, Jack.
Hello, fellas. Yeah, I'm sorry I'm late, but I rode down here with Barbara Stanwyck and Robert Taylor, and they just wouldn't let me go, you know? Say, Dennis, you sang beautifully.
How do you know?
I heard the program on the way down.
Hey, Jackson, didn't Livy come down with you?
No, Phil. Mary can't be on the show today. She's got a cold, but she's getting along all right. Now, kid...
What'd you give her for Christmas, Jack?
Mary? Oh, I gave her a beautiful gift. A pair of alligator shoes.
Alligator shoes? That's awful.
What's awful about it?
Now some poor alligator's running around barefooted.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Now, kid...
In the winter, too.
Dennis, be quiet. Kid...
Oh, say, Mr. Benny.
What?
See this tie I'm wearing? My girl knitted it for me for Christmas.
Your tie? Well, what are those things hanging on the side?
Sleeve. She started to make a sweater and changed her mind.
Oh, well, it looks nice, Dennis, and that's a pretty stick pin you have in it.
That's one of the needles. She forgot to take it out.
Well, it's a beautiful gift, though. Now, kid, I'm sorry I was late, but now that I'm here,
we better get on with the show because we've got a very important play to do.
Well, Jack, before we go into that, I think we ought to have a commercial. I've got the quartet right here.
Oh, yes, the sportsman. Well, all right, Don, let's have the commercial first.
Jack, the boys have a very bad cold, but they'll do the best they can.
All four of them have a cold? The four of them?
Yes.
Gee, that's too bad. Well, let's hear the commercial anyway.
Okay, take it, boys.
Happy days are again with New Year's Eve. So again, we will all stand up and again.
Gesundheit.
Happy days for you and me. Lucky days are here to stay. In fact, they never been away. So we'll celebrate on New Year's Day with an LMFFT.
Too bad you've all got the flu. I can tell you just what to do. Get in bed and stay there.
BD Riggs will be here soon. He's got his face from empty food. So let's light up while we sing this food. Happy days are here again. Here again.
Gee, they must have caught that cold from Guy Lombardo, I think. Don, wipe off the microphone. We'll get on with the show.
Ew. Wipe it off. Wipe it off. Am I alone? Testing, testing.
Harpo's here.
Ah. There's one of us. Let's get Dave back in here.
Yeah, where's Dave?
I don't know, but we are celebrating New Year's Eve. Well, actually, we're celebrating Old Year. Here at Erie House with these wonderful, wonderful comedies. As, we're listening to the Jack Benny Show ring in 1948.
Wait, is it not over?
It is not over. That was merely part one.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought that was it. They sneezed their way out.
No.
I guess not.
Yeah, just that segment. Oh, we lost Dave altogether. He'll be back, I'm sure. So.
Maybe it's all that beer he brought.
Could be.
Could be. I didn't know Dave drank beer, but okay. By his own admission.
I do believe I've had the occasion to tilt a beer with Dave on occasion or two. Have I not, Dave?
We have done a couple. Yes, we have.
We
have okay.
A beer or two. Literally a beer or two.
Yeah. Barely a beer. Yeah. We aren't heavy in diapers, imbibers anymore. Not we're heavy for heavy in diapers, but we're not heavy in diaper and imbibers.
Or in diapers.
Maybe you're bourbon.
If you drink enough, we'll be in diapers.
We will be. That's where we end up anyway. It's one point or other. You'll start off with diapers, end up with diapers.
Yep. Might as well just give that up. That's what's going to happen, kid.
Oh, my.
I don't know. Does that happen to everybody?
I don't know. If you get hit by a bus when you're 40, when you're 45, no. That doesn't happen to you.
No. Yeah. There you go.
Wow. It's a Steve Martin version there, huh?
I don't know it. I just know it's a banjo version. I have no idea where I got this. I found
Steve
it under
Martin,
my.
What?
It was a gift under my New Year's tree.
Was it?
Yeah.
Steve Martin once said that you can't play a depressing song on a banjo.
Yeah, everything
that's
sounds
true.
Like a sounds like a Shakey's pizza commercial.
Did you attend a Shakey's pizza parlor when you were a kid, Dave?
We had them in New York. We didn't go to the pizza parlors in New York, but we did have them there in Buffalo. We had one in Buffalo.
I don't think are you familiar, Dale?
Did we, Dale?
I am not familiar with Shakey's at all. I've heard of it, so I know it's been popular in the world, but I have not personally imbibed in the Shakey's.
The one I went to as a kid, they painted the entire interior of the restaurant black, and then they had a wall. They had a wall that was painted white, and they would play nonstop Keystone Cop movies on the wall while you're having your
meal.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
To accompany the Keystone Cops aspect, they had someone with a banjo playing live and on a piano playing live to accompany the movie. So that was what you saw. And for kids, there was the fun of they had this big view window. And you could go, and they had this one guy that was doing nothing. All he did, he didn't make any – I don't think he made a pizza. I don't think so. He just flipped dough. That's all he did. You'd see him flip the dough. You know, and as you're a kid, you go and you watch the guy flipping dough and doing tricks with dough in the air and stuff like that. I don't know that he made the pizza, which – might have been entertaining too, but maybe that. But it was like a view window.
Yeah.
And the kids could go up. There was like a ramp, and you could go up on a platform, and you could sit there and watch the guy while you're waiting for your meal to be given. And the funny thing was that they had big pitchers of beer at the Shakey's Pizza Parlor. It was an interesting experience. I don't have a lot of fond memories, but that's one.
Cool.
Cool.
That's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Shakey's Pizza.
Shakey's Pizza. Shakey's How are we coming on time?
Hola Radio.
Hola.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up Jack Benny. Part two of his 1947-1948 New Year's celebration.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our feature attraction tonight, even though we haven't done it for a couple of years, we're going to present another of our New Year's fantasies called The New Tenant, or Goodbye 47, Hello 48. Now, in this fantasy...
Wait a minute, Jack. How are you going to do without Mary? She always plays the part of Columbia.
Oh, my goodness, you're right. And Mary can't be here.
Hey, Jackson, you don't have to throw out our play. I just got an idea.
What is it?
Well, look, I rehearsed my show right across the hall, and Alice will be tickled to death to come in and pinch hit for Mary.
Well, yeah, I don't know, Phil. It's
she'll do it for nothing.
Oh, well, go get her. You go ahead.
What do you mean, go get her?
What do you want, honey?
Oh, hello, Alice.
Hello, Jack.
Alice, I'm so glad you came in. We want you to help us out with our play. You see, Mary can't be here.
Oh, that's too bad. What's wrong with Mary?
She's home in bed with a bad case of alligator shoes.
Dennis, Mary has a cold, Alice. Now, let's get on with the show. Now, in our fantasy, I will play the part of the old year 1947, who is living in a big boarding house run by Uncle Sam and his wife, Columbia. Now, Alice, you'll play the part of Columbia.
Columbia?
Yes.
On this network?
Well, NBC has the holiday spirit, you see. But, Alice, I mean that you play Columbia, the mother of America, and you were born in 1776. You know how old that makes you?
38. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me.
Oh. Well, there's room there for both of us, you know. Now, Phil... Phil, you play the part of Uncle Sam, and you and Alice have 48 children. And you may soon have another child. Hawaii.
Alice, come back. It's only a play.
Yes. Now, Dennis, you will represent the different countries in the world that come in and say goodbye to the old year.
But gee, how can I play all the different countries? I'm so confused.
I couldn't have cast it any better. Now, let's get on with our play. The New Tenant, or Goodbye 47, Hello 48. As the curtain rises, it is 2 o'clock in the afternoon of December 31st.
and old man 47 is packing his bags, getting ready to make his exit. Curtain. Music.
Oh, Columbia. Columbia. Come here a minute, will you, please?
What do you want, 47?
Give me a hand, will you? I got to get out of here before midnight and make room for the new tenant.
Well, it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon. What's your hurry?
I got a lot of packing to do. Hand me that, will you?
Oh, why, old-timer. Bubblegum.
Yep. Love the stuff.
But how can you chew it? You ain't got no teeth.
I gum my gum by gum. My pointy nose always breaks him. Say, I wonder if it's still raining out. What a day. Doggone, it's thundering, too. Isn't that awful on my last day here? I'm going to have a talk with Thunder. Oh, Thor! Thor!
Yes? Are you Thor? No, just a little angry.
Now, cut that out! Now, don't be funny. This is my last day on Earth.
Good.
What?
You've been a lousy year, and I'm glad to get rid of you.
Lousy year? What are you talking about? I've been as busy as a bee. Tremendous production. Making automobiles, airplanes, refrigerators, television sets, clothes, typewriters, boats, radios, and lots of other things.
I know, but they all went to the woman who guessed who Miss Hush was.
Oh, keep quiet. I said keep quiet. Makes me sick showing off with his thunder. Just mad because the Chamber of Commerce won't let him in California. Say, Columbia, hand me those songs, will you? I'm going to take them with me.
Here you are.
Let me see. A feudin', a fussin', and a fightin'. Lady from 29 Palms. And oh, here's this one. Chibamba, chibamba, chihuahua, and chillon, la cuca, la gamba. Chibamba, chibamba, never did find out what that meant.
Say, old-timer, take this with you, too. I can't stand it.
What is it?
That's what I like about the South.
Doggone, I never found out what that meant either. Okay, give it to me. Well, howdy, old-timer. I don't want to say I'm afraid you wouldn't get here in time to see me go.
Well, I'm sorry, but I've been busy.
Well, what you been doing, Sam?
Been over in Arizona trying to help some of her children, them Navajos.
The Navajo Indians?
Yep, the way we treated them, our faces should be red, too.
Yeah, I hope you see everything's all right, though, from now on. Well, I better get on. Come in.
Hey, it's my neighbor, Mexico.
Mexico?
Excuse me for talking in your face, senor, but I came to say goodbye, I think.
Well, thank you.
Say, Mexico, it was awful nice of you to come up and say goodbye to the old-timer.
Oh, it was nothing, senor. I was tired of fiesta, so I come up to your country to siesta.
To sleep?
No, to siesta, Williams.
Esther Williams. You like her, eh?
Chibaba, chibaba, chihuahua.
Oh, so that's what it means. Well, thanks for dropping in, Mexico. Good luck.
Adios, senor.
That was darn nice of him. Well, Columbia, I better get on with... Say, isn't it too early for the new year to be getting here?
What do you mean, old-timer?
Look out the window. Here he comes now without any clothes on, just a cloth wrapped around him. Hey, are you the new year?
No, I'm on my way home from Santa Anita.
Doggone, I thought sure.
Now, who can that be?
Come in.
Oh, look, it's England.
Well, hello, England. Come on in.
Just dropped in to say goodbye, old chap.
Thanks. Say, wait a minute, England. Is it snowing outside?
No, that's rice on my shoulders. We had a big wedding a little while ago.
Oh, yes, yes.
And how are you, Uncle Sam?
You'll get it. You'll get it. Take your hands out of my pocket.
Well, don't make him wait too long, Sam. He needs it pretty bad. Huh?
Thanks, old-timer, and cheerio.
So long, England, and good luck. You know, he's quite a guy. Now, let's see, what else can I pack?
Do you want to take these flying saucers with you?
No, I need them like a moose needs a hat rack. I hear that on some radio program. Something about Norman Krasny. I wonder if it's still raining.
No, it's just a little cloudy. But, oh, look. Look, the sun's a-breaking through.
Well, doggone if it ain't. Here comes the sun. Hello, Sal.
Hello, old-timer.
Doggone, look at the way the sun is beaming.
Yep, and get a load of that beam.
Hey, Sal, nice of you to come out on my last day.
Yeah, just warming it up for the Rose Bowl game.
Oh, yeah. Well, Sal, you ought to go to New York, melt some of that snow they got over there.
That was my fault. They kept singing about a white Christmas, and they got it.
I guess you're right. Well, so long, Sal.
So long, old-timer.
Always like to see him. Does my rheumatism good. Well, I better finish packing. Doggone, I'm all alone. It's almost midnight. Gosh, I'm tired. Sure had a tough time. Did the best I could, though, and I hope the new fella will do a lot better. Uh-oh. There's the first stroke of midnight. Lieutenant ought to be here any second now. Well, I better get my bags and just... Hey, that must be him now. Come in. Well, it's a little New Year, all right. Hello, Sonny.
Hello, old-timer.
Say, you're a cute little rascal.
Thank you.
You even got that new look. Your diaper's 2 inches longer. Come on in, make yourself at home. I'm just about to leave. Oh, by the way, Sonny, before I go, I want to show you my picture album.
Your picture album?
Yep. Here, I'll show you now. Take a good look at this picture. Here's something I'm mighty proud of.
That looks like a railroad yard with all those trains.
Yep. That long one over there is the Friendship train. Started out with just a dozen cars. But every place it stopped, people added more and more food for Europe.
What's this other one over here?
Oh, that's called the Freedom Train.
The Freedom Train?
Yep. And I want you to get as many people as possible to see it. Whole life's life is on that train. Bill of Rights, Emancipation Proclamation, Declaration of Independence.
Those are big words. What do they mean?
Well, I'll sum it up for you in the words of a great man, Abraham Lincoln. That government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, Sonny, I got to be going now, but I want to tell you one thing.
What's that, old-timer?
You're even going to have a tougher job than I had, but you'll have an extra day to do it. You're a leap year.
Leap year?
Yeah, it's a special year they throw in just for the women. You know, so those that ain't been asked can do the asking. Before the poor guy knows it, he's married.
Married? What's that?
Oh, just another version of feuding, a fussing, and a fighting. Well, Sonny, be sure and take care of Columbia and Uncle Sam.
I will.
And the rest of the world ain't in too good shape. A lot of people hungry. But there's a fella here by the name of Marshall who's got a plan to sort of help him out.
Marshall?
Yep, George Marshall. Now, his plan's going to cost a lot of money, but it's worth every cent of it. Always remember, Sonny, isn't money that counts. People. And it's up to those who have to help those who haven't. Well, I'm just about ready. Oh, yes. One more thing, Sonny.
Yes, sir?
A lot, awful lot of things in this world that ain't good, you know. There's distrust, greed, racial prejudice, and hatred. See if you can do something about it.
I sure will.
Well, gotta be going. Good luck, 48.
Thanks, old-timer.
Now be sure and take care of everybody.
I will. Goodbye, 47.
So long, Sonny. Happy New Year, everybody.
Hey, I'm going to
sheet and end that one a little quick and buy a little more time because we got a whole lot of radio.
Whole lot of radio.
Yep.
Yep, yep.
And that was Jack Benny ringing in 1948, not too long ago, only about 70-odd years. My, how things have changed.
Yep.
Or
in Jack Benny terms, 38 years ago, yeah.
And how some things per Father Time have not changed.
Yeah.
More things change, the more they stay the same. Always remember that.
Okay. I'm confused, but I'll remember it.
That's my moral.
And I don't remember a lot. I don't remember a lot. Yeah.
That's not what my arthritis says.
Yeah, it'll change. It'll get worse.
It does. One more tale. This time it's Fibber McGee and Molly with a fresh start for the new year. Yeah.
Yeah. I that was one of my first shows, old radio shows, comedy shows I really started getting in love with that. Fibber McGee and Molly and Inner Sanctum is what really introduced me. Spike Jones to Fibber McGee and Molly to Inner Sanctum introduced me to the glories of old-time radio back in my young teens. And it's all grown from there. It's all grown from there. Thanks to Jim and Mary and Jordan, who are Fibber McGee and Molly.
Yep, and this one was originally broadcast way back in?
Oh, gosh, 1926, 1438, 1922. No, where is it? There it is. December 28th, 1943.
Ooh. Here we go.
The Dr. Life program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
And Johnson Wax.
The makers of Johnson's Wax, Johnson's Car New, and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. In 3 days, your opportunity for making good resolutions will be here again. Well, if you're anything like me, you've got plenty of material to work on, and you probably don't need any suggestions. But I can't refrain from tossing one at you for the benefit of any of you ladies who haven't yet learned how much work you can save by adopting the wax housekeeping method. I believe I've demonstrated before how Johnson's Wax is more than a product. It's a labor-saving way of keeping house. By regular applications of Johnson's Wax to your floors, furniture, and woodwork, and many other surfaces, too, you not only protect them against wear, but you keep your house cleaner all year, save yourself work in the bargain, and add beauty to every room. Use Johnson's Wax on your leather goods, windowsills, Venetian blinds, your picture frames, ornaments, andirons, your refrigerator, and pantry shelves. So may I suggest that you resolve now to save yourself unnecessary work during 1944... by adopting the Johnson's Wax housekeeping method. The Chinese, an admirable people, celebrate the advent of the new year by paying up old bills and settling various obligations. Maybe that's why Gung Ho McGee, the old mandarin of Wistful Vista, has been dashing around all morning returning properties, paying bills, and doing other strange things. Possibly his odd activities will be explained as we meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
I returned Doc Gamble's cribbage board, paid my bill at the shoeshine stand. Oh, my gosh, I didn't get a new pane for the basement window. Hey, Molly, I'll be right back. I got to go right down to the hardware store.
Now, wait a minute, McGee. Calm down. Hmm? The hardware store is closed today for inventory.
Doggone it, and I'll bet that was it, too.
You bet what was what?
What I was supposed to do today. Look, you see this ribbon on my little finger?
Yes. I noticed that all morning. Somebody give you a new pinky for Christmas?
No. That's on there to remind me to do something.
Oh?
And I'm doggone if I know what it is. So I've been doing everything I should have done for the last year. I fixed your vacuum cleaner.
Oh, good for you. That's wonderful.
It's right here. Try it. Here, I'll switch it on. See? See? Works like a charm.
Can't you fix it so it works like a vacuum cleaner?
I got that chug, chug, chug out of it, didn't I?
Yeah, but you left in the squeak and the broomp and the clickety.
Well, the gears are a little wore down, that's all. Works perfect except for one thing.
What's that?
Well, it don't work when you push it forward.
Oh?
You got to pull it along behind you.
Well, that's fine. I'll pretend it's a little red wagon that Santa Claus brought me, huh?
Gee, Liz, this is annoying. Ribbon on my finger to remind me to do something and can't remember what it is. It's mortivating.
It's what?
Mortivating. That's a combination of mortifying and infuriating. Now, why can't I remember?
Say, did you send the piano tuner a check?
Old High Miller? Sure I did. With a nasty note, too.
Well, what was that for? He tuned it beautifully.
I know, but $5 seemed like a lot of dough for having a guy play Johnny One Note on that broken-down melodeon of ours for half a day. And I told him so when he done it. And he says that what I didn't know about music would fill Carnegie Hall. And I says, at least I didn't play the piano with a monkey wrench. He says, I was so dumb, I thought a string ensemble was a lynching party. I says, he was so dumb, he thought G major was what the captain said when he got promoted. One word led to another, so I got in the last word when I sent the check. That's all.
Well, that's enough. Now, I think you owe him an apology.
Huh?
You know, before he tuned that piano, it sounded like somebody playing the bagpipes underwater.
Oh, my gosh. I'll bet I know what I was supposed to do.
Put a new light bulb on the back porch.
Oh.
You know, it was so dark out there last night, you threw the garbage in the cellar window and then went back in the garage instead of the house hollering that somebody had stolen the back steps.
I fixed that light bulb this morning before I returned Wilcox's stepladder. But that isn't what I meant. I meant Fred Nittany.
Fred Nittany?
Yeah. I owe him a letter. You heard me speak of old Fred Nittany from Starved Rock, Illinois.
Oh, indeed I have, dearie. He creeps through your conversation like a cat through a fish
market. Ah, good old Fred. There was a pal. Saved my life once, too.
He did.
And when a guy saves a guy's life, a guy never forgets it.
How'd he save your life?
Remember our old vaudeville act where we used to throw the Indian clubs at each other?
Yes, you demonstrated that to me once. You broke the dining room window and knocked the milkman unconscious.
Well, I hollered, whoop, before I threw it. Could I help it if he never saw a vaudeville show? Anyway, once when I and old Fred was playing the Palace Theater in Petoskey, Michigan...
Oh, the big time, huh?
We were just filling a split week. Spokane, Washington, Petoskey, Michigan. Anyway, Fred was kind of nearsighted, see? Bad case of a phrygmatism. Well, sir, by mistake one night, he put on a pair of the stagehand's eyeglasses by mistake. And the stagehand had a sphygmatism, too, even worse than Fred had it, see? So I looked like I was standing right in front of him instead of 20 feet away on account of his sphygmatism.
That was an interesting situation.
It was fraught with peril.
It was what?
It was fraught with peril. Literary expression, meaning my neck was out a mile. Well, sir, thinking I was right there in front of him, he just handed me the Indian clubs instead of throwing them, and naturally, they just fell onto the stage. Got a terrific laugh, and we kept it in the act.
Yeah, but how'd he save your life?
My gosh, can't you see? If he'd have threw them at me, he'd have killed me. Couldn't see what he was doing on account of that assistance. Where's my fountain pen? I've owed Fred a letter for so... Doggone it, who's that? I don't want to be interrupted when I got so much to do, even if I can't even remember what it was I was supposed
to do. Well, let me see. Oh, it's Mr. Wellington from the Bijou Theater.
Oh, that guy. The poor man, Sam Goldwyn. He gives me a spasm in the clavicle.
Now, listen. He's a nice, educated man, Mr. Wellington.
Yeah, he's so darn refined, you could sprinkle him on your oatmeal. Only I wouldn't care for
something. Oh, my goodness, McGee, he never... Come in. Hello, Mr. Wellington.
Good day, Mrs. McGee. You're looking very charming today. Hello, McGee. You're looking.
Hi, Sig. What urgent business has dragged you out of that black hole of Calcutta you call a movie theater?
My friend, in the first place, if you have ever perused my advertising in the evening papers, you will, perchance, have noticed that the Bijou is always called, and I quote, Wistful Vista's own Taj Mahal of superior cinematic offerings, a veritable enchanted palace of modern screen drama. And I un.
Quote?
Thank you, and here's my hat, too.
Well, if you've taken care of the first place, now what was it you wanted in the second place?
I wished to inquire if by any chance when you attended my theater last night, the night before last, mm-hmm. You lost an overshoe. It might roughly be described as black, size 10 and a half, worn at the ankle, scuffed at toe and heel, with your name plainly inscribed in indelible ink on the inside in what I would consider a noteworthy case of false pride.
You did, McGee, you did. You wondered where you lost that overshoe.
My gosh, I did at that. I'll bet that's what this ribbon was on my finger for, to remind me to look for that overshoe. Oh, gee, thanks, Sig, old man. You bring it with you?
Frankly, no. You may reclaim the missing doghouse, if you will pardon the vernacular, by calling Miss Hortens Bird Body at 345 West 14th Street.
Well, how on earth did she get it, Mr. Wellington? Is she one of your ushers?
Miss Birdbody, on the contrary, is one of my valued patrons, Mrs. McGee. She is in possession of the article by virtue of the fact that she was hit solidly on the noggin by same. You see, your husband has a deplorable habit of hanging his feet over the balcony rail.
My gosh. Was she hurt, Sig?
She was not, I must report, colder than an iceman's tongs. I would therefore suggest, my friend, that in case you intend to retrieve the footwear, you first pave the way by a note of apology, an order of cut flowers, and a few telephone calls, thus avoiding the legal action, which I am sure she is prepared to instigate.
Gate?
Thank you, no. I'll close the door myself. Thank you. Goodbye.
McGee, you might have an ugly lawsuit on your hands.
I'll run right down and order some flowers sent to her right away with a note of apology. Where's my hat? Oh, yeah, right here in the hall.
Oh. Maybe that was what you forgot to remember, to clean out the hall closet.
I wonder if...
Mills and the Orchestra and Blue Skies.
Closet cleaned out, Molly. That was what I got that ribbon on my finger to remind me of. I've done it. Only I don't think it was that.
Well, how about seeing Miss Hortense Birdbody about your overshoe?
I've decided to let her keep it for the scrap drive. There was 5 pounds of rubber in that thing.
Well, you still owe her an apology.
Now, I'll call her up. Give me the phone.
Here.
Thanks. Hello, operator. Give me the residence of Miss Hortense Birdbody at 34 Pete's Sake. Is that you, Mert?
Oh, dear.
How's every little thing, Mert? Cheers, eh? What's that, Mert? Your aunt lost a beautiful big Afghan. Huh?
Oh, how terrible. Did she knit it herself?
No, she was engaged to him and he went back to Afghanistan. What's that, Mert? Okay, thanks anyway. She says there's no number listed for a Hortense bird body. Well, that lets me out.
Not necessarily. She can still sue you.
No, I'll take a chance. Let him sue me. I'll plead nux prosy ad fortem.
What does that mean?
I don't know. They won't either, and I'll gain 3 weeks till they try to look it up. Darn it, I wish I could remember what I'd have done. What was I supposed to do if I had this string on my finger?
Well, now, let me think a minute.
Yeah,
now.
Me too.
Did you take those rental books back to Kramer's drugstore?
Yes, sir, I did. On the way back from returning Wilcox's stepladder. I told Kramer they were two of the worst mystery stories I ever read.
Oh, I don't know. The body in the bass drum was very entertaining, I thought.
Bah. I knew who did it after I read three pages.
From which end?
What do you mean, from which end? You think I peek in the back of the book to see who done it?
Yes.
Well, don't you?
Yes.
Well, then, gee whiz, don't criticize me. I never did it from first I...
Hello, folks. Am I intruding?
Not at all, Mr. Wilcox. Come right in.
Hi, Junior. That a new Christmas necktie you're wearing?
You can't even see my necktie. I've got my muffler over it.
That's why I thought it must be a Christmas tie. Well, what's on your mind? All dark and commercial?
Well, I just wanted to thank you for bringing my stepladder back, pal.
Oh, he's been returning borrowed articles all day, Mr. Wilcox.
Incidentally, Junior, you got gypped on that stepladder, you know that? I no sooner stepped on it than three rungs busted and it spraddled out like a hurdle jumper.
It was all right when I bought it, chum. You've had it so long, it's rotted away.
Say, when did you borrow that ladder, McGee?
Why, last summer, I think. Or was it last spring?
It was neither one.
Oh.
I loaned it to you originally so you could patch the top of your car because you were driving to the World's Fair in Chicago.
Which one, Mr. Wilcox?
What do you mean, which one? Why, that was only in 1930... something?
Sure, sure. Only 10 years ago.
Oh.
That was about the time I first met you folks, remember?
Ah, yes.
And started telling people about Johnson's self-polishing glow coat.
Ah, yes.
The wonderful finish for linoleum that shines as it dries.
Heavenly days it is. Almost 10 years, isn't it?
And you haven't changed hardly at all a bit, Junior.
Nope. And neither has glow coat. Still the finest protection money can buy to keep your linoleum floor coverings protected against dust and dampness and to restore the real beauty of the color and pattern.
Ah, yes.
That's been a great association, kids. A great association.
Yes, we think so, too, Mr. Wilcox.
And it sure has, Junior. You got a little less pepper in your personality, a little more salt in your hair, but... you're still the same old Racine Shifter.
Well, I'll tell you. You'll never know how much I... well, how much this thing has meant to me. I want you to know that... Let me take that handkerchief, will you, pal? Thanks.
Are you that sentimental about it, Mr. Wilcox?
About this handkerchief? Yes. It's one my sister embroidered, and this magpie you married borrowed it from me 2 years ago. See you later, folks.
Of all the hokum, why didn't he just ask for the handkerchief? I'd have given it to him. He didn't have to ham it up like that.
Well, I thought it was a pretty good act myself. Has he ever had any movie offers?
Yeah, two of them. He sat in a woman's lap by mistake in a movie one night, and her husband offered to poke him in the nose. Then he saw how big Wilcox was and offered him
a... Okay, we'll pick up on the rest of Fibber, McGee, and Molly in just a bit. CW joins us to ring out 2022.
Hello, greetings and sisters. Hello. Happy Eve of New Year's Eve.
Yep, it's Eve.
Eve, yeah.
Which is different than Eve Arden.
Yes, I could resist taking a stroll down the Wistful Vista. Yeah.
Good old 79 Wistful Vista, yes.
79 Wistful Vista. And I was able to listen in on the little bit of the Jack Benny show, and I was just wondering, has anyone ever... heard of the space parody someone did in the 80s called Jet?
No.
Sure, I've heard that one.
If you look on Internet Movie Database and key in Jet Benny, it was a parody of Star Wars Mix's Jack Benny.
That has promise.
Jack Benny did a lot of movie parodies. Yeah? He did a lot of movie parodies during his both radio and television shows. So, you know.
Yeah. This was done in the 80s by a group of people who were Star Wars fans and Jack Benny fans, and they came up with the premise of Jet Benny.
Why not?
Why not? And did you also know that Jack Benny was in a lawsuit because he parodied the movie Gaslight?
Really?
I knew he parodied it on radio. What the? They sued him over it?
Yeah, he did it when he had his television show. I think, according to the article I was reading, he took it all the way to the Supreme Court, apparently. He lost.
Aw.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. Parody on the air. Let's see. The ruling came on Jack Benny's 1953 Autolite. Maybe it was radio. But is a minute-filled takeoff of the 1944 movie Gaslight, which copied the situations of the movie, scantily paraphrased many of the lines, and even used the same names for its characters. Benny's lawyers admitted that Autolite closely reflected, the parody was called Autolite versus Gaslight. Yeah, wow. So it was on his TV. Decision gave a guidepost of sorts to TV lawyers who have defended suits and threatened suits against other artists who did parody, Sid Caesar, Imogen Coke, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They did their From Here to Eternity parody, et cetera. But apparently during that time frame, now you can parody just about anything now. You can get away with it.
Well, you should be.
That started the tradition that with Capitol Records and Stan Freberg, that he had to get permission to do his parodies. And even Weird Al, to a point, he released a couple songs for free over the internet and such, simply because he couldn't get the permission. One being Lady Gaga. And he never asked Lady Gaga. He asked her manager, and her manager turned her down. And when he released it for free and she found out and she watched it, she gave her permission, you know, so they just got, Al didn't go far enough.
Yeah, I mean, you made it when Weird Al wants to parody you, so I hope she got a new manager over that.
Yeah, you know.
Might have.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Weird Al wants to parody me? Fame at last. Oh yeah.
Oh, that is a tip of the hat to have Weird Al shred you.
Yeah.
But we don't have enough time really to finish this next segment. We chatted a bit too much. But let's get in what we can.
Well,
cheers for Marie and Molly.
Say, look,
Mickey,
can't you take that silly red ribbon off your finger now? Why don't you sit down and relax? You must be tired.
Tired? I had to shorten my suspenders to keep myself standing up.
Well, the only thing I can think of that you haven't done is fix that clock in our bedroom. You know, the one that Aunt Sarah gave us for a wedding present?
You mean that marble Venus with the clock in her stomach? I can't fix that.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. I just... Well, gee whiz, it embarrasses me. Every time I start toward her with a pair of pliers, I feel like Dr. Kildare. Besides, I don't feel...
Oh, for goodness sakes, hey, Alice, darling. Hello, dear.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, Mr. McGee. Did I get a Christmas card or phone call from Paul?
Paul?
Uh-huh.
Not Paul Bunyan, the owner of Babe, the blue-eyed ox, 40 axe handles between the eyes.
No, this is a fellow by the name of Paul, which he works at the next bench to me at the airplane plant, and is he ever a good-looking man, my dear?
Oh, you really go for him, Alice, huh?
Oh, all the girls go for him, Mrs. McGee. He's been whistled at more than a downtown grade crossing. He's got Ronald Coleman's eyes and Cary Grant's chin and Clark Gable's personality and my blowtorch, which he forgot to give back last week.
Why do you suppose he ignored you this Christmas, kid? Did his passion cool when the blowtorch went out?
Well, I suppose really it was on account of we had a little difference of opinion last week. I said he was a rat and he said he wasn't.
Well, just what instigated this tender little exchange of personalities, Alice?
Well, he stopped in a drugstore to make a phone call, and he was expecting an answer, so he asked me to sit in the telephone booth and keep it for him till he got back. And he was gone for an hour and a half. And believe me, I was so tired from that little wooden stool, I walked three blocks in a sitting-down position. And that's when I called him a rat.
Where had he been all that time, playing pool?
No. No, he went to a newsreel theater because he said drugstores make him nervous. Because when he was a child, somebody put an ice cream cone down his back. Oh, but that wasn't what made me so mad.
What did, Alice?
Well, it was while I was walking all bent over on account of being in the phone booth so long, and Paul said, "Do you have to do that, stoop?" Jeepers, I wish he'd call me or something so I...
I'll get it. 79 Whistle Vista, Marla McGee speaking. Who? Oh, yes, she's right here. Who's calling, please? Oh, Alice, it's Paul.
It is? Mm. Oh, thank you. Hello, Paul. This is Alice, and I still think you're a rat. Yes, Mrs. McGee, it's been a beautiful Christmas, and I got some perfume and some books and a new line of glasses.
The King's Men, and only 12 more shopping months till Christmas.
12 more shopping months till Christmas, still I want the time. I've decided to skip next year, I won't spend a dime. Only 8 more shopping months till Christmas, gee, that's not so long. I am sending out cards this year, then I can't go wrong. I'll have to buy one little present for Aunt Minnie. That can wait a while. Lots of time to choose, what have I got to lose? You've got 4 more shopping months till Christmas. Gee, but it's a 4. Let's see, 90 days, that's not bad. Still got plenty more. Take your time, take your time. What's the rush about? Stop that hurrying, stop that worrying. Hurry and worry is out. All you gotta do is make out a list and decide upon the price to pay. All the dither and the bother and the lather and the bother will be done before Christmas Day. Trust me, I'll be ready then. Golly, can that be old Santa Claus again? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Only 10 more shopping days till Christmas. Better go buy a tree. Must get Mama that new fur coat, and she'll be mad at me. Only 3 more shopping days till Christmas. Lots of things to buy. Should have started it weeks ago. How the time has flown. Almost forgot to get that streamlined train for Junior. Where's my shopping list? Molly and Tony and Michael and Fred. A dolly, a pony, a cycle, a sled. Hear me calling Santa Claus, I need your help, because there's only 2 little shopping days till Christmas. Now it's almost here. That old feeling that's in your hide comes to stealing up here inside. Now I'm sorry that Christmas tide comes but once a year. Here's wishing everybody a happy new year.
I fixed the vacuum cleaner. I took back the books. I returned Wilcox's stepladder.
Oh, for goodness sakes, McGee, stop worrying, will you? You've done more work around here today than you have in the last 5 years.
Doggone it, I still don't know why I got this ribbon on my finger. It must have been something I wanted to do first thing today, and I don't feel that I've done it.
You paid the gas bill, dearie?
Yeah, and the phone bill and my personal account at the shoe sign stand.
Well, that's all I can think of, unless you forgot to patch that wallpaper in the hall upstairs.
I done that the minute I got back from returning Wilcox's stepladder. And believe me, that yellow chrysanthemum design is pretty tough to match up, too.
Well, where on earth did you find any paper to match it? It's been on there for 8 years.
Well, it didn't match exactly. I had to use some we had left over from papering the dining room.
Yes, but that's a running design of a hunting scene. Horses jumping over fences.
Yeah, I know, I know, I know. You never saw a horse jumping over a chrysanthemum. Take a look upstairs. One of the most unusual... I wish people would quit bothering us till I remember what I got this ribbon tied on my finger for. It's exasperating. That's... Come in.
Oh, hello, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, McGee.
Hi, Hippocrates.
If you are referring to the father of medicine, McGee, it's pronounced Hippocrates.
Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't...
Now, boys. Don't let's get started on one of those arguments. It's too near after Christmas. Mm.
Yes, it is, Mrs. McGee, and I just stopped into... Well... Why, the hair ribbon on the digit, my boy. Gonna flag down a train or something?
That's reminding him to do something, Doctor.
To do what?
Doggone it, that's just it. I can't remember what.
He's been working like a dog around here today, Doctor. He's fixed things, returned things, and paid bills, and just generally worn himself to another.
And I still don't feel like I've done what this ribbon was supposed to remind me of to have done.
You say you've paid all your bills?
Yes, he has, Doctor.
No, he hasn't, dear.
And who haven't I paid, wise guy?
Me?
Oh, heavenly day.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry, Doc. You completely slipped my mind.
That's all right. If everybody paid the doctor's bill when it was due, the doctor could get some nice new instruments and pay his rent and buy some medical books and get more up-to-date things, and we wouldn't want that to happen, would we? Or would we?
Pay the man right now, McGee. Do you happen to know the amount, Doctor?
By an odd coincidence, Mrs. McGee, I have a copy of the bill right here.
Odd coincidence, my clavicle. You were probably going to come over here and beat on the door till the dough got shook out of my piggy bank. Well, how much? Big, fat, bandage bandit.
$23.
That's very reasonable.
Reasonable? Why, for 23 bucks, I could jack up my ankles and get a whole new body. Of all the pill-peddling piracy I ever heard of, this takes the silver-mounted sleeping tablet. 23 bucks. What did you see the last time you looked down my throat, a diamond mine? 20.
Oh, stop shouting, McGee. You know very well you call me over here every time you mistake gluttony for heart trouble. Of course, if you'd like to go on my charity list...
We don't want anything of the kind, Doctor.
Shh. Charity list, she says. Ha-ha! The last time you treated a case for free, it was because your dog nosed it wrong.
The word, McGee, is diagnosed.
In your case, it's dog-nosed, you big Airedale.
Now,
look here, McGee. I'm a very patient man, as any doctor would be who waited for you to pay a bill. But if I have to take any more of your silly vaudeville, I'll forget my ethics and spread your septum all over your unclassic profile.
Oh, yeah? Well, you leave my septum out of this. Why, I could stand on a basketball and bounce you around like a yo-yo.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Just because you carry a little globe under your belt, don't get the idea you're Charles Atlas. I know every alleged muscle in your miserable little chassis, McGee, and you haven't got the stamina of yesterday's spaghetti.
Is that so?
Why,
now, listen here. That's enough now. It's enough. Stop it. I won't have another word. Doctor, you left excuse, McGee. He's worked so hard today, he's worn out and irritable. McGee, $23 is a very fair charge.
Oh, yeah? Well, then let him itemize.
That's fair enough. Here's the bill. June 3rd, office call. Taking bowling ball off thumb. $3.
I remember that.
So do I. That leaves 20.
July 5th, house call. Emergency, 3 a.m. Patient terrified. Turning red all over. Diagnosis, sunburn. Shall I go on, McGee?
No, doctor, of course not. Pay him $23, McGee.
Here you are, Doc. You don't have to give me a receipt. I trust you.
Isn't that sweet? He trusts me. Well, I may as well tell you now, McGee, the reason I had this bill with me is that I was coming over here to tear it up as a New Year's present. Your silly ailments have kept me in good humor the whole year. Good day.
Well, I told you you were...
Hey, we're going to wrap it up there again because we got to rip on out of here in just a moment or two. Want to thank, first of all, our listeners, Fogsbane, GGSI Paper, good old Bob here in the chat with us today. Many more that are listening that I know our regulars, Ms. Lansdottir over there in Sweden. Thank you very much. Want to thank my partners too, CW, Gar, Dave. I love you guys so much for joining me as often as possible here on Erie House Radio as we share these old-time programs.
Happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year.
Yep, and we start on year number 7. Start on year number 7 starting Friday. Sorry, you got to go 7 full days without us. We'll be back on Friday. Yeah, the 6th at 6:30 Eastern. It's all new radio shows. Well, sort of. Their first run shows.
All new old radio shows. First episodes of shows.
Yep. We've got Gildersleeve, X-1, Damon Runyon Theater. That'll be Friday night. And CBS Radio Mystery Theater returns on Saturday at 6:30, the 7th, which is exactly 6 years from our first Erie House Oldie Timey program. Wow.
Wow.
Fly times.
Big wow.
Fly times.
Who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk?
And they said it wouldn't last.
Show starts in 2 minutes.
It does?
And they were right. No, no, just kidding.
So we got good stuff coming up for you next year, and we're starting it off with all new programs, sort of. See you next week. Happy New Year!
Okay.
Are growing
Happy New
dim.
Year. Happy New Year.
There's no
Happy
one
year.
Left but me
Happy old year.
And him.
And New Year.
When
her.
Next we
John
meet
here.
In
her.
Frankenstone.
Her.
Don't come alone.
Yodel.
Can you dig it?
I dig it.
I dig it, man. I digger Odell it, man.
Oh, perfect timing. That one ended just...
Oh, nicely done.
Yeah. Quite by accident. I had to hem and haw to get the timing to where I wanted it, though. Words are coming out of my face. I am saying things and goodbye.
Oh, and I took the liberty of putting the link to that auto of the Jack Benny show. Yep. That Jack Benny show was on season 9, episode 9, January 11th, 1959. Ooh. And it's located
exactly 1 year
exactly.
before I was born. 1 year.
Mm-hmm. And that episode is happily in archive.org. I put the link in the chat. So in the chat. Yeah. And Barbara Stanwyck did her parody of the Ingrid Bergman role. And there's also the full episode's on archive.org, but there's a small snippet of it on YouTube, which I was watching just a moment ago. She is freaking fabulous. Of course, she's Barbara Stanwyck. But, So that's probably why.
Barbara Stanwyck. Go ahead.
Barbara Stanwyck. Is always, you know, very more dramatic versus comedy. But, I mean, she did, you know, Ball of Fire with Gary Cooper, where she portrayed the dance hall singer. The character's name was Sugar Puss O'Shaughnessy or something to that effect. But, yeah, you were thinking that Barbara Stanwyck, Big Valley,
Yeah. You know, I'm really not familiar with her movies. I am familiar with her on The Big Valley with Nick and Heath Barkley.
Oh.
And Jared.
Heath, Jared, and the brother that disappeared later on, Eugene, who vanished into that.
Eugene?
That. Oh, you don't remember Brother Eugene? This is before.
I don't remember Brother Eugene, no.
Oh, yeah. When Heath finally came in and he was going to stay, Heath was the illegitimate brother of...
Yes, yes.
Well, illegitimate son of her late husband. It's more like a soap opera, actually. Well, Eugene vanished with no explanation.
Oh.
Yeah. So maybe they brought him in to replace him because he wanted out or something. Could be.
I don't know. I think so, but it was just... It's one of those mysteries, for example, where you had, for example, in My Three Sons, you had the elder brother was Michael, then you had Robbie and Chip, and there was then the other one, Ernie, and then Michael disappeared. They never said anything about the character, just vanished. Same thing with Happy Days. Richie Cunningham had an elder brother and a younger sister, then the elder brother just disappeared.
Yeah. He bounced the basketball one too many times in the house.
The eternal mystery of where these siblings vanished to. Next time on Unsolved Mysteries.
To television obscurity.
Yep.
Yep. yeah, Chuck. I just want to say thanks,
Chuck,
guys.
That was the name of the name of his older brother, right? Chuck.
Chuck, that's it.
I'm pretty sure
that's
it.
Thank you.
Scar,
are you there?
Scar?
He's been missing for a while.
I thought I heard him.
Hootie hoo.
Hootie hoo. Bleh bleh. Bleh bleh. Bleh bleh. Oh no.
Bleh bleh.
Were you the one that showed the yardstick with 6 inches of sunshine in Florida today, Gar?
Huh? I don't know.
I guess not.
I know it's dark right now.
He's got lizards falling out of the sky.
Not near me.
Really?
I haven't gotten out. I looked around. I didn't see any iguanas. Yeah.
There are areas of Florida, when it gets cold enough, they freeze up and they fall out of the trees.
Yeah.
I know I told you this story. There's some moron in a station wagon went around collecting frozen iguanas, not realizing that, you know, he had the heater on in his... And they started to turn... He had wild animals in a station wagon. They had like 10 huge iguanas. What an idiot. But anyway.
I hope you got
true story.
Could have been worse. He could have been picking up alligators. I mean, they'll...
Yeah,
if they
hornet's
get caught
nest.
In the cold, they'll do the same.
Yeah.
An old hornet's nest.
Yeah. I actually, today, I spent a lot of time figuring out the different residences I've lived in. And so far, in my 58-plus years, I've lived in 16 different places, different addresses. That coincides with the 9,648 jobs that I've had.
If you paid your rent, you wouldn't have to move so often, you know?
I know, yeah, you got to keep on moving. So, yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
And I'm looking to move again, and as soon as I find a spot, I'll change that number to 17. I don't know. Is that a large number of places to live? 16 places?
Well,
I would have liked to live in the Philippines and gone to Shakey's.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Me too.
Yeah. I think she sold quite a few shirts on that one.
Three, five, six, seven, eight.
If you're counting
nine.
My brain cells,
I think
you've counted a couple.
Yeah, I think I've lived in 10 places myself.
And the funny thing is,
if you don't count waking up somewhere when you're not where you don't belong.
Not unless you're no. The place I'm living in now is the longest place I've lived anywhere. Been here 20 years. But all the rest of the places are like 4 years max.
You paid your rent. You paid your rent.
Yeah.
You know what happens?
Hey, paid the mortgage. Paid the mortgage.
All I know is Erie House is the most fun I've ever had sober with my clothes on.
And please keep it that way.
Thank you.
It's
all
radio.
Thank goodness it's radio. That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's radio, you'll never
And all right. Put your hand out. Here comes the ruler for that one. Come on. Come on.
All right. All right, Sister Mary Bloody Knuckles. Have at it. Sister Mary Knuckle Sandwich. That was actually the name of a song. We had the people that used to go to that bar, I worked at Dave Alfalfa's. There were a few of them that were in this band called Nunfist. Nunfist. And they had a song, and I think they named one of the band members Sister Mary Knuckle Sandwich. Yeah. And like two of the guys were dressed up like nuns. They had Satan playing the drums. It was weird.
Yeah, I don't know how they didn't get to be, you know, Smash.
They were a metal band.
I don't understand that.
as one might imagine.
At least two people are familiar with this song, but maybe everybody is. There's a song that says, the lyrics are, I went back to Ohio and my city was gone.
Oh,
are
that's, what's her name? From
Chrissy Hine and the Pretenders. Chrissy Hine and the Pretenders.
Right, from right here in Akron, Ohio.
Yep.
She's here a lot. She's here a lot.
One of the crazy things about, one of the crazy things about investigating where you've lived is, there are a lot of places you live that by now, if you go look, they're not there anymore.
Well, that was a song about the things that were happening that were really bad in Akron at the time, you know, economically.
Yeah,
and the
bus, the train station's gone and things like that, yeah.
Yeah.
For a while, even in an old apartment building that where my employee works, he used to do laundry with her on Tuesday nights.
That's
in the apartment building. So, okay.
Well, I wonder if she brought her guitar down with her when she was, you know, doing the laundry, just waiting for the spin cycle.
Yeah, there you go.
As far as I know, she didn't, but.
Well, she should have.
She
yeah, doggone it. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Can you imagine her saying, I used to do laundry with David Bowie, Jimi Hendrix, and they would play something while, doing the ironing.
Too, you know? They got to do laundry, too, you know?
They got to, sort out their
don't they have people to take care of that, or they wear something once and, throw it out?
Depends on their success at that point in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. If
they
first start,
they might still be doing
their laundry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just looking at the list, and the first three homes I lived in from birth up until, what is that? 14? Gone. They're not on the planet anymore. It's like, wow. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is. That's fate telling you something. Keep running.
Yeah, exactly.
Moving target
exactly.
Is hard to hit.
That's right. I got to get out of this one before it falls down and then, go on to the next.
Sounds like an episode of The X-Files.
If you wouldn't keep bringing your termites with you, then maybe you wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah, one, two, yeah.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
Pet termites don't work out in wooden homes.
No.
And if some of those homes were igloos, well, that's going to be seasonal around here. So that could be what happened to some of your homes, Gar. I don't know. You did live in Alaska for a while.
And if everybody had good health, my mom and dad could still be viable. My mom would be 70. My dad would be 80. They could have been here, darn it. What?
If my father were alive, he'd be over 100.
Wow, okay.
It could happen.
He could still be.
And my father.
So father.
They were both born
anymore.
In 1918.
Yeah.
That's not,
so if they
not
were
unusual
alive
anymore.
Today, they'd still be dead.
They'd still be dead,
yeah.
I was sad to hear years ago when my in-laws had passed away. I wasn't on the short list of give this guy a call, but I found out, and I was like, oh, man, they were really nice people.
That's my first marriage. My in-laws were tremendous. The father, the mother, the brothers were nice guys. Mm-hmm. Sir, I couldn't speak.
Really?
Yeah.
It was his wife that was the problem.
Sounds like somebody was bucking the trend there. Yeah.
Well, we were both too young. I mean, you think you know stuff. When you're young and you find out later how dumb you were.
I'm still finding out.
Sometimes, yeah, me too. Sometimes for me, it's yesterday.
Oh, hey, honey, you should have seen.
I'm smart enough not to lick electrical wires, but other than that,
anymore.
Anymore.
Yeah. Anymore.
Anymore. Yeah.
Maybe that's why I can't remember anything.
You were only curious to see what would happen. That's all.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's crazy. I was looking up my mom, and she passed away right at the age of 65. We were not in communication at the time, but it's like right when you hit retirement age, that's when the court gets pulled. What? That's crazy. 65.
Yeah, that's like very unfair.
I mean, at least, you know, at least 10 more years. Come on. You know.
Sometimes it's work that keeps you going, though. You know what I mean? You got. I have enough like hobbies, interests, animals, and obligations to keep me going once I retire, I'm sure. This is a lot of house and yard. Yeah, house and yard are plenty by themselves, plus a big goofy collie and a very affectionate cat right now. Because I have the space heater over here. I don't know.
Oh. It's a space heater. It's not you. It's a space heater. Don't kid yourself.
Get out of my heat.
Stealing my heat.
Yeah. There have been a lot of articles that say that if a spouse dies, that the other one isn't far beyond that. But my mom hung out 20 years after my dad passed away. And I was like, wow. And she had health problems and stuff. But who knows? Maybe if he was still around, she wouldn't have health problems. One could have forestalled the other. I don't know.
Yeah, no, no.
Well, it's true. Or that, sorry to tell you this, guys, but we do last a lot longer than you do. So, you know, once that model decides to push up daisies, it's time to go on to a fresher model.
Reason? Did you ever wonder the reason?
Well,
or maybe you don't wonder.
Mean?
Maybe you know.
I think she knows.
Well, you know.
I don't know.
The wife comes in with a great big meatloaf and says, gee, it didn't taste like arsenic when I tried it.
No, my woman is choosing the slow method, some cholesterol a little at a time. I'll make things she likes.
That homemade dish of crack that she makes.
Yeah, I've been trying to stay away from that. I got to get her to make the base crackers, though. I want her to try graham crackers instead of saltines. But yeah, I just think it'll be better overall. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Some caramel, some chocolate, and then just top it with whatever. Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what to say at your eulogy, then. Graham crackers did them in. You know?
Dale died from crack. Too much crack. Yeah, too much crack. Yeah, way too much crack. Put his glucose right through the roof. No, I've actually in spite of the increase in intake of sweets for the holidays, I'm not doing too bad. I'm managing well. When I do have it, I abstain from other things, which seem to be balancing out.
Your tombstone could read, Dale and cookies crumbled. That was it.
Gee, the tobacco wouldn't have added up to anything, would it have, by chance? Maybe.
Might have a little bit. A little something to do with that.
That means 30 years of oak vibing in the bars. But that was a occupational hazard, you know? It's like these Chevy guys get the asbestos.
Yeah. Well, yours truly is aiming for at least 125. I mean, I have to get save up for a condo on Mars. You know,
125. Boy, I want to ask you how far into that you are, but I won't. No, it just seems like I just think you're like us in that you are interested in things that have preceded you, like media-wise, movies, radio, that kind of thing.
Well, but it could just be an interest. I know that at one point my brother was talking radio and old movies with somebody, and he stopped and looked at him and said, just how old are you? You know, thinking he should be a lot older than he truly is, you know, so, yeah.
It's bad when you remember things from before you were born. Then you know you got it bad.
I remember things better from before I was born than when I was born, so.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, we're at work and we're playing on, I don't have Apple, but my coworker had Apple on their device. So we're going on their Apple device and we're going from one thing to another. Hey, have you ever heard of Marie Chevalier? He said, no. Have it play something by Marie Chevalier. So it says, Siri, play Marie Chevalier. And then we go from Marie Chevalier all the way up to, let's hear something by Bowie. And then says somebody, let's play the theme music from Halo. That poor algorithm must have been going bonkers.
I don't know what Siri to play next.
Yeah, poor Siri must have been losing it. Probably
don't put
saying,
me on random,
hey,
I'll lose it.
Don't play random. So we went from Marie Chevalier all the way to Halo.
I think sometimes my musical interests are that varying too. There's things from almost every genre, and certainly not everything from every genre that will interest me. Even types of music I am typically not drawn to will have a song or two that are just, you know, they move you. Music
well,
moves
just
you
this, ways. Just this last week I shared with Gar a video of a barbershop quartet doing the theme to Spider-Man.
Yes. All right. Awesome.
It was marvelous.
And why
wild.
Wouldn't they?
And they did it in a cartoon filter.
Yes.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man.
In the 1920s. No, not in that. When I was in my 20s, I ran across the Hampton String Quartet in their album on vinyl called What If Mozart Wrote Roll Over Beethoven?
Oh,
and
wow.
These are some amazing. Yeah, they're really amazing. The Hampton String Quartet did three of them. The other one was Steppenwolf's Born to Be Wild, I think. What If Mozart Wrote Born to Be Wild or something like that. And they're just these very amazing Mozart-esque passages of rock songs. And it's just like, wow, I got to kick it up. I think it was a Christmas time present I bought for myself. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Just think if Christopher Lee did heavy metal. Oh, wait, he did.
Oh, he did.
Oh, wait, here we go. Check this out. What if Edgar Allan Poe wrote The Three Little Pigs? And a synopsis would be a trio. A trio. Check it out. A trio of inept home builders brutally murder a drifter. Or say Stephen King did Hansel and Gretel, where the siblings kill an eccentric old lady in a botched home invasion. Or say Mary Shelley wrote Sleeping Beauty, an accursed girl's corpse weirdly obsessed over and reanimated. How about that?
Okay, I like it.
I like that very much. This is wild.
that's fodder to do horror stand-up. That's something I always wanted to do, is extremely dark stand-up would be fun to try.
There you go. I just turn out the light, you know. And there we go. Yep.
But do it as if you're serious, just extremely dark with a little sly grin here and there. Somebody like Vincent Price could easily do something like that.
Oh, yeah.
He always has that
and
sly
did.
Grin, always.
He did. I think
Vincent Price
mentioned
doing the narration of Edgar Allan Poe's The Three Little Pigs.
Yes. I did see Vincent Price do stand-up once, and for the life of me, I can't find it anywhere on the internet. I know he did stand-up, and it was a talk show. It was something like, Phil Donahue or one of those types of talk shows where he was a guest. I don't think it was Carson. I don't think it was Carson, but
Merv?
It could have been Merv, and I think it was – part of me wants to say it's Merv because I remember it being in an afternoon. And he did his shtick. It was darkish kind of humor. And at the end, he kind of leers at the audience and says, well, did I kill you? And I cannot find that anywhere.
There weren't that many talk shows there was Mike Douglas, Merv Griffin, Johnny Carson, What was that guy? That,
Doris Day Show. Don't forget that. I think
oh,
it was.
Yeah, the Doris Day
Doris
Show. This is probably a little later down the line. And there was Della recently
Donahue.
Had a talk show.
Or are you thinking of Lena Horne? Did Lena Horne have one? Maybe I'm thinking of Della Reese.
Della Reese, there's a few snippets of the episodes that have been found on YouTube. She's actually doing a duet with Eric Burdon and the Animals.
Oh, that's incredible.
It is. Well, Eric Burdon, that deep, gravelly voice and her big voice and everything else, wow, they do it wonderfully. But I take it back. He wasn't with the Animals anymore. He was with – it was Eric Burdon and War.
Yes.
When
that was later, yeah.
There's something fun for you guys to look up. 1978, Vincent Price was on the Dick Cavett Show.
And that may have,
oh,
that
yeah,
was another
Dick
talk
Cavett.
Show, Dick Cavett. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about
could have been
Tom Snyder. But that was done late at night. Tom Snyder?
I
don't think he would have been on there.
I didn't even know Tom Snyder existed at the time. I want to guess it was late 60s, early 70s maybe that I'm remembering this. Possibly mid 70s at the dead latest. I'd love to see it again if it exists.
I wish I had paid more attention to Tom Snyder when he was on the air, but attention
I
was
some really,
well, I was asleep.
Really cool
it was
guess.
Late.
Yeah, he had a lot of
really
cool guests.
Guess,
I discovered him way late, too.
Okay, so there is that's Elvira. No, wait, Elvira and Vincent Price were together on Tom Snyder's show in the 1980s. Oh, get out of town. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
They were also on Johnny Carson, too.
Yeah. Constantly asking Elvira, what keeps that dress on? and she's like, everything's taped. Don't worry about it. Nothing's going to go anywhere she didn't want it to go.
Oh, my.
She was on TV. She knew what was going on, you know.
Yep.
And in none of her movies, nothing crazy is going on.
Gentlemen, I must be away.
I was just about to say.
Yep, it's time
Hey guys, I just finished uploading that Spider-Man song. If you want to hear some of that,
where's it at?
It's right here. I think it's right there.
Oh.
Hey, remember, this is a video, so. I guess it's a group that's coming to action.
Sounds like Shirtwave.
It's a spider tingle. Happy New Year, you guys.
Tinkling, not tingling.
It's coming up. It's coming up. Can't hurry this along, can you, Dale?
No. Won't let you.
In the chill of night, the scene of a crime.
Bye.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Swinging around,
oh, he's strong. Listen, bud,
he's got radioactive blood. He'll swing,
and he swings
right from a thread. Take a look overhead. Hey there, dot, dot, dot.
There goes the Spider-Man.
Whoa, whoa, in the chill of night, at the scene of a crime,
just
like a streak of light, he arrives just in time,
right on time,
oh,
Spider-Man, Spider-Man,
what a friend in the neighborhood, Spider-Man. Wealth and fame he's ignored, action is his reward. Look out, look out, here comes the Spider-Man. He's a fighter and a spinner, all the bad guys there his dinner. Manly arachnid, lover and a swinger. Oh, Billy, he's gonna get ya. And ladies,
he won't forget ya.
He's abounding and surrounding all the people sounding.
Here he comes,
that man.
What a man, amazing.
Swinging in the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light.
He arrives
just in time. Arrives just in time. Ba ba da 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 da. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, wealth and fame,
yeah,
he's ignored, action is
now his reward.
Look out,
look out, look out,
look out,
here comes the Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, that Spider-Man, radioactive Spider-Man, that man.
Okay, let's cut it off there, but there you go.
And with that, Happy New Year. I will see you folks later.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Happy
New
Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Well, you know what that means.
That's right.
That means, without a doubt, the one, the only, the Schnozola himself, Mr. Durante, bring us out into the next
night.
Year.
Good night.
Year.
It's
good rich. I'm tired.
Good night.
Good night.
For this sake, but good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Sorry for what we think, and
think I do.
Good night.
Night.
Adieu.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Eeny, meeny, chili beeny, the spirits are about to speak.